Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guy. You're on right now. It's the Renegade. People's Radio. It's RSG up in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Anne Hoop. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will. The Ill Executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil P, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page. Eric Hamilton.
RNG fans is like, woo!
Now, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
It don't get no better than this, baby.
I want winners. You guys act like this. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Smile. Anybody can be beaten.
Don't get no more realer.
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys. Where real guys talk real sports. RSG Renegade Radio. How's everybody doing this evening? I'm your host and one third of the illustrious three man booth, Marcus the Game Changer. Before we get into the proceedings this evening, I'd like to thank you all for joining us. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, and we appreciate your patronage. Now, before we get this thing rolling, I got to bring in the rest of the illustrious three-man booth. I got my guy to the right, D. Wills. Holler at the people.
What's up? You know, I'm kind of like the heat. I'm trying to work on, but I got a little 10-day streak I'm working on. I'm trying to get my LeBron on, not quite at 23 days, but I got my little streak on, so I'm feeling like I'm catching my zone. I might have a triple-double tonight. I'm feeling good. Legs are good. I got my bounce.
Yeah, man, speaking of the Heat, unbelievable game last night. Just unreal. Jeff Green, good to see that brother playing ball again for Boston.
Yeah.
43 points, super efficient, getting to the rack. This is one of those nights for the kid. Coming back from heart surgery, it was just nice. It did my heart good to see that cat getting back on his game and getting back on his grind. But in the end, LeBron's a beast. LeBron is a beast.
Yes.
So I want to bring in, on that note, I'm going to bring in my man, PhD. He and I were going back and forth on the text. My man, 100 grand, PhD. What's happening, Captain?
Now, you know, you're hurting my feelings with Jeff Green. I decided to not start him yesterday.
I forgot,
basketball. This cat gave me a week worth of production on my bench.
I mean, he had a heck of a line. I mean, he had, what, 43-7, four blocks, two steals? You know, got a crazy percentage. You know,
yeah.
Hit you with a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So this segment of the show is known as the intro to let you know. This is where the Renegades run down what we have in store for you all tonight. We get you nice and prepped for all of the topics that we like to hit. We may hit them all. We may get in groove with one topic and just roll with it. You just kind of got to ride with us, you know. It's like going for a ride with your uncle back in the day. You know, he said, hey, we're going to go for a ride. He don't tell you where you're going. He don't tell you what you're going to be doing. Y'all don't really have no destination in particular. And, you know, you never know where you wind up, you know. You wind up, you know, at the grocery store. You could wind up, you know, hanging out at the park, or at the courts. Or you could wind up in, you know, your grandmother's house. Just sitting on the couch watching soaps. Like, man, why are we doing this? I got some business to take care of, young blood. Just chill. So, you know, just sit back. You know, we're going to take you through as the Renegades do. You're in good hands. So enjoy the show. We got our man, Larry Randall. He's like Prop Joe from The Wire. He's way behind the scenes running things. You know what I'm saying? He's like Shug, all right? We got Larry Randall from Resistance Digital Solutions joining us. We're going to get into the bracket challenge, our yearly annual bracket challenge that we get into. Talk about all the great prizes that we have.
I'm the champ.
That's got to remind me of my name.
Yeah, he's a champ. But you know you're only the champ if somebody beats you. And I got my eyes set on beating you this year. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for the throne.
Okay.
I'll take you off the perch. You know, I've been known to throw rocks at the throne. So, after we have that conversation, of course, we're going to roll that into some bracket talk. We're going to talk about the strongest region, give you some dark horses that you need to be on the lookout for, some five seeds and lower, some of those dark horse teams that may make a run that you may want to check out. Keep an eye on them in your bracket. I'm going to talk about your bracket killer. That's that three seeder above that they ain't making it at the first weekend. So we're going to hit you off with that. We're going to continue our conversation, dropping our top 10 NBA seasons of all time. We're going to give you 7 through 5 this week. So make sure you hang in for that. That'll be something that we definitely get to. And if we have time, we're going to hit you with some NFL free agency talk, talking about the best pickup, that overrated pickup, the one that looks good in March, but, you know, come December, you're not getting a whole lot of return on your investment. So we're gonna put on our Negro Domus turbans and get a little clairvoyant with that. And then we're going to hit you off with the Resistance Digital Solutions Dog of the Week, close out the show. So I'm going to pass it off to my man D. Wills, and he's going to handle this. He's going to handle the introductions and the formalities.
Well, you know, we're excited. You know, we've been doing this challenge for 3 years, but for the second year, as everyone knows, Resistance Digital Solutions has been our show sponsor for not only the big show here on Tuesday night, but Inside the Park. Y'all definitely got to check that out. But the man behind the scenes who has been a great partner of us as we've been trying to build this has been Larry Randall. He's been a long time, not only a friend of the show, a friend of ours. He was here from the early days contributing to the show as we built it. And when he launched his company, he came to support us. And we're excited. We've been trying to build this each year. And the thing about it is most people who are involved in our show, whether they're sponsors or whatever, at the heart of what they do, they're sports fans. And you can hear that whenever we bring folks on. And Larry is a sports fan first and foremost, but then, you know, a great businessman who's built an incredible company. If you haven't had a chance to check his company out, make sure that you do check his website out. And we'll be sharing with that with you throughout the night and especially tomorrow night during our NCAA special show, which we'll tell you about later on. But we want to welcome Larry Randall, president of Resistance Digital Solutions, to the show. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing good. How you fellas doing tonight?
Pretty good. Now, Larry, what I forgot to say is that the first year you actually won it, didn't you?
Yeah, actually I did. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So
go ahead, take a bow.
Take a bow now. Take a bow. So
yeah, you know,
people.
I, I'm like the residential expert, so yeah, you know.
you did your thing. Now, last year we cooked up some pretty good stuff. We had some who's who in the tournament last year doing this. I think one of our people who plays was PJ Bowman. He played with the Fly and the Lion Eye back in '89. He's the roommate with Steve Bartle. We also have Randy Baker, who he's the assistant director for U.S. figure skating. I think he finished like third. So we got some who's who in this tournament. People who are just checking us out, joining in on this thing. But I know you always cooking something up in terms of prizes and things that you want to get folks. Do you want to give people a little bit of taste, or are you holding back?
Well, no, I'm not going to hold back. You know, one of the things is that every time we do this, we want to come at it hard. And so I can't come at it with a prize table that's weak. So this year, I'm going to go ahead and announce it to build up a little bit of excitement about getting into the RSG Resistance Digital Tourney. So without further ado, I'm just going to announce the third, second, and first place prizes. So for third place, the winner will receive a $25 gift card, good for anything at Resistance Digital Solutions. Second place, we're going to go with a Vizio 32-inch home theater soundbar. Now, if you've never seen these things and you want to get some home theater up in your crib, that's the way to go. You ain't got to deal with no wires, you know, speakers all over the place. You just hook this thing up, and you're going to have a home theater straight up in your crib. You can do apartments, houses, whatever.
I'm going to fix my bracket now.
See, that's pretty tight. And, I mean, I want one of these, but I can't get one. So, you know, consider yourself lucky if you get the second place prize. It's a good prize. And for our winner this year, I've decided to go with a Lenovo Idea tablet. It's a mini tablet that runs off of Android, and it's actually one of the few items that I carry around myself pretty much in my pocket. It's a great prize. So I want people to get excited. I want them to do this. It is free, and you have a great chance of winning these great prizes. So that's what we got going this year.
There he is. He's coming out. He's picking the game up every year. First of all, y'all got to go and check him out at Resistance Digital Solutions at www.resistancedigital.com. You got to check him out. I've had a number of people who have used him, been happy with the service that you've delivered. One of my colleagues at the university, she showed me she loved the suggestions you made. So it's an incredible opportunity. The service is incredible. We're going to keep you here because what we want to display as well while you're here, Larry, is why you won the first year. And, you know, we got to get us back to Game Changer because he's going to set us up. But we're going to have you in here. We're going to talk about a few things. And we want to give people a sense of why you won the first year. See, you're not just a guy who's going to lay the prizes out, but you're going to compete because they got to beat you, they got to beat me, they got to beat Phil T, they got to be able to beat Game Changer. And that's a hard thing to do. We still try to award those top three people, but the key is can you win legitimately? And right now we're holding it down, so they better come after us. So we're going to display some of that. Some of that talent right here about why we do what we do and why we're good in attorneys. So, Game Changer, I'm going to get it back to you.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And before we get into everything, you're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions. Make sure you hit them up at www.resistancedigital.com. Larry is taking care of you for free right now, all right? With this tournament challenge. Just think of what this man will do when you're paying him. All right? Make sure you hit him up at www.resistancedigital.com and let this man hook you up and get your tech game right. All right? Now, right now, if you're thinking about entering into the Resistance Digital challenge, the bracket challenge, you may want to turn up your radio, perk up your ears, turn your iPod up, however you're listening. Turn it up, crank up your volume, because now we're going to drop knowledge, all right? This is the section of the show where we drop knowledge. We're going to give you some tools to get some of that, get some of them prizes, all right? So you need to hold on and ride with us for a minute, all right? So, fellas,
And I'm going to bring Larry in right away. We're talking about the brackets. Larry, give me your strongest region, the region that is toughest to pick for you right now because it's so loaded with quality teams. Which region is that for you?
As I was looking at it, to me, the East is pretty stacked. I mean, you're sitting there looking at Indiana being the prohibitive favorite, but you got teams like Syracuse, Miami. You got Marquette, who's been a tough out for a lot of people. I know they kind of disappointed in their end-of-the-year tournament, but they're a tough out, too. I really had trouble picking even the Sweet 16 on this one. I'm looking forward to a few matchups that I'll just go through real quick. Possible second-round game, we're looking at Indiana versus NC State. Now, NC State's one of those teams that just lie in the weeds every single year. And you never know. They might be primed for an upset because we all know that Indiana, while have been pretty good the entire year, they got some serious flaws when it comes to kind of the up-and-down game. So I'm really looking forward to that second-round game. And I'm also looking forward to see if Syracuse can just put it together. They've been off and on all year. And if they can actually put it together, I'm thinking that they can possibly make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, and that East bracket, and you talk about that Indiana-NC State matchup in particular. And when you really start to look at a team like NC State, like as you said, is one of those teams that is kind of laying in the weeds. And there are a couple of teams in that East region with a lot of talent that have just kind of been kind of coasting all year. I mean, when you talk about NC State, UNLV, even a Syracuse, even though they're a 4 seed, you know, at one point in the season they were number one. And then you look at a number 10 seed like a Colorado. Those are all teams with some guys who can play at the next level. When we talk about the next level, we're talking about the NBA. Guys with league talent. These are teams that could flip a switch, and all of a sudden you see those. They each have guys who can take over a game. When you talk about NC State, you're talking about Lorenzo Brown. You talk about Howell. You're talking about C.J. Leslie, Rodney Purvis. They got guys who could take over a game. UNLV, Anthony Bennett, Mike Moser, guys who can take over a game. Syracuse, we know what they have. Michael Carter-Williams, Brandon Trish, James Sutherland, all those guys. Any of those guys can take over a game. So that region is really, really stacked. And it's not getting a lot of, like, national play because I think people don't really understand how deep that region is as far as, like, elite-level talent that just hasn't been playing that way consistently. Again, one of those squads can get hot and it could totally bust up your bracket real good. And that's not even considering the top six or so seeds when you talk about Butler as a 6 seed, Marquette as a 3 seed that you mentioned, Miami as a 2. That's a really, really tough region. That's a really, really tough region. So I like that pick. I like that pick. D. Wills, what's your strongest region?
I'd say the Midwest. When you look at the fact that they got Louisville, they got Memphis, they got Michigan State, they got Creighton, Duke, Oklahoma State. I mean, Oregon, what they won the Pac-12, and they're a 12th seed. And so when you look at the between coaching and you look at teams that have some players who can make a difference, that I think that's a tough region to pick. I mean, even if you look at, like, Louisville having a second-round matchup against the Colorado State of Missouri, you know, those are teams, and I like Louisville a lot, but those are teams that could make a difference. Or a team like Oregon who, you know, had their freshman point guard hurt, I think that's probably hurt their seed. They're struggling. But you look at a team like St. Louis, you look at Memphis, you can't really tell, but they got players who can play. They got talent. Michigan State played tough down the stretch. That's Phil T's pick. Creighton with McDermott, Duke. So, I mean, that Midwest region from coaching to talent, folks who've been there, I think that's a tough region.
Yeah, that is a very tough region. And this region is a little bit different. This region is tough for a different reason than the East is tough. The East is tough because it has a lot of elite-level talent that, you know, can go off. This region is a veteran region. When you talk about Colorado State with 5 seniors, Missouri, they have a very veteran-laden lineup. You talk about a team like St. Louis. There's some grown men out there. I watched St. Louis playing with my guys at my team, VCU. I watched them play in the A-10 championship. I was very impressed with St. Louis, man. They got some grinders. Nobody is necessarily a stud, but all those guys contribute. They go about 7 or 8 deep, and they're all grinders. And then a sleeper is St. Mary's. If St. Mary's can get out of that Middle Tennessee State game, if they can get by Middle Tennessee State, that's a tough team. They gave Gonzaga a lot of problems out there in the WCC. So that's another team that's facing, again, a strong Memphis squad. Then Creighton versus Duke possibly in the second round. McDermott could give them fits, a guy who can just change the game. So there's a lot of wild cards in the Midwest. And then you talked about having, you know, everybody's been talking about the three Hall of Fame coaches. When you got Patino, Izzo, and Krzyzewski, anything can go down. A squad that I like in that region that is kind of going under the radar is Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, again, they have some legit pro talent on that team. They're a physical team. They're an athletic team. They can play in a half court. That's an interesting squad that if they made a run, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, when you got Marcus Smart, I mean, I think a lot of folks are, you know, scared of, you know, what he can do when he's in the game. And so, yeah, you got a player that can control the game and make some things happen. So they got some big-time talent, and they've always been tough. Yeah, this is going to be a tough – it's going to be a tough region.
Yeah, the reason I like the most is the South. You know, it's got my Hoyas and the Havoc. I call it the Hoya and Havoc region. With Georgetown and VCU, those are two teams I follow the hardest right now. But then you're talking about Kansas as your one. You got a North Carolina team that underachieved all season but still is talent-laden. You have a Michigan team that has been up and down, Jekyll and Hyde all season, but they still have possibly the most talent of any team in the tournament. When you talk about just pure talent, when you go down from a Hardaway to a McGarry to a Trey Burke, to Glenn Robinson III, they have a lot of pieces, a lot of guys who are really good talents. Then you have UCLA, who's kind of a poor man's Michigan almost. A ton of talent on the squad, just quite haven't been consistent all year. Minnesota, that's a dark horse team that could easily knock off a couple of favorites when you look at an 11 seed. That's a team that came into the season with a lot of high expectations, ranked in the top 10. Haven't lived up to that expectations, but they still have a ton of talent. Florida is a great team. Georgetown is a very solid team. So the South, to me, is also loaded, man. This is because there isn't a clear-cut favorite in this tournament, it really is. Anybody can get it. You know, anybody can get after it. Anybody can get anybody. Anybody can be beat. As Bart Scott once said, anybody can go down. So there are a lot of pitfalls in this tournament for some of these higher seeds. I expect this to be mayhem. I really don't know how this is going to end up this year. I'm going to do my best to figure it out and try and put some things down so I can get at that sound bar. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to upgrade my sound. So the next thing I want to get into, and I'm gonna pull my man LR back in. Dark horse. Give me a 5 seed or lower that you think has a legitimate shot at making a run to the Elite Eight to that second weekend.
Well, right now, I mean, I gotta go with VCU going back to the South. I initially, when this season started, I thought Trey Burke was gonna be a player of the year. I mean, he had everything sitting in front of him, and, you know, he had a good cast of players around him that was going to make him a lot better, but it just hasn't panned out. And, I mean, I'm thinking that VCU could possibly make the Final Four. I'm not impressed with Michigan, as I said. I haven't been impressed with Kansas, but I don't see anybody causing them trouble up to that game. So I'm looking at VCU versus Kansas for a trip. And I'm pretty much going with VCU as my true dark horse of this tournament. I also want to give a few props to the Arizona team, who has also kind of sat under the radar. but they don't really have a hard road to make it to the Final Four. I'm not too impressed with Notre Dame or Ohio State. And, I mean, New Mexico's looked pretty good so far, but that's, you know, if they can get past New Mexico, they got a good chance of making it to the Final Four too.
Okay, okay. All right. The VCU pick, you know, I'm a fan. You know, I love the whole vibe of VCU, man. From the pep band on down. that's the school I could get down with, man. I enjoy VCU. I love the way they play. They get after it, man. Shaka Smart's got those kids flying around, playing with such energy. He gets a lot of guys involved. That style can wear teams down. So I definitely like the VCU pick. And I see where their style of play can cause teams problems, especially teams that aren't used to being pressed and really getting intense pressure full court for, you know, 40 full minutes of a game because they rotate so many guys in to keep that pressure up, and they keep that pressure on you for a long time. D. Wills, your dark horse, who you got?
Well, I had a couple here. I'm just going to go down to one. And I'm going to have to choose between two. I was going to go between Oregon and Minnesota. I'm going to go with Minnesota because, first of all, Coach Tubby's experience, and they got top 10 talent. And they've got some good victories. They had the fourth toughest, I think, strength of schedule, their fourth. So they played in some tough games. They got some players. And some teams, there are teams that tournaments make them play better because it requires them to focus. And I think Minnesota is one of those teams that a tournament situation, and I almost think Michigan is like that too, they play better in tournament settings than they do in regular season. Sometimes they just have these mental blocks, these walls on a Thursday night in Madison, Wisconsin. They can't focus. But this tournament atmosphere for teams like that get them to play better. And I think that Minnesota is one of those teams that just will feel it. And Tubby's a good tournament coach. He knows how to do that. He can do it when he has talent.
Yeah, and they have what I think is a good matchup for them in the first round in UCLA, which is, again, a Jekyll and Hyde squad. You don't know which UCLA is going to show up. Minnesota's got some vets out there. UCLA's really young. I think that game definitely favors Minnesota if you're going to look for a first-round upset. UCLA-Minnesota, I probably put money on that game going to the 11th seed. And then they got Florida, which is a very beatable team. You know, running the ball screen offense with Billy Donovan, that could cause some problems for Minnesota, but Minnesota's got some pretty athletic bigs who can get out and show on those ball screens and give them some different looks. So I like the Minnesota pick for sure. Another one you mentioned was Oregon, another solid team to look out for. They won the Pac-10. All right, you win your conference, you got to get a little bit of respect. For me, my dark horse, my sleeper, my 11th seed is Belmont. I shouted them out way back in February. We had the coach on last year. And he talked about this was the year that this team could make some noise. If you're looking for another 11th seed to really make some noise, game changer approved, Belmont. Give them a look. They could take down Arizona. They could take down New Mexico. Another squad to look at is Wichita State. The one reason that Gonzaga just worries me a little bit is because they're still a mid-major. They're one seed, but they're still a mid-major. And when they go up against these other mid-majors, I don't know if they have a decided advantage as you would think they would as a one. So when you get that 9-1 matchup with Gonzaga, I can see Wichita State pulling that out. Wichita State is a team that was top 15 most of the year. They kind of hung out in that 11 to 15 range for a good chunk of the season. So that's another squad to watch out for when you're looking at teams that are lower seeds that can make a run. Now, LR, we talked about the lower seeds. We talked about the reasons. We got to talk about the bracket killers. We got to get the listeners out there some intel on the bracket killers. You know, last year it was the Dukes and the Missouris that just murked your bracket, just totally killed it, totally sabotaged the whole bracket. These are those three seeds or higher, those threes, those twos, and those ones that are going to wreak havoc on people's brackets because they're going to be out the first night or the second night, and people are going to have these teams going to the Elite Eight or beyond So just totally ruining the cash bracket. LR, who do you got in this situation as a bracket killer?
Well, I know you want me to do a three or higher, but I got to put this team on upset alert in the first round, and it's the Buckies. I don't see Wisconsin getting past Ole Miss. Have y'all seen Ole Miss play lately? They look pretty tough.
Yeah,
And I know how Wisconsin is. They want to get you in that slot fest, you know, let's play defense and score 50 points a game, but those boys, they like to go up and down the court. And if Wisconsin can't stay with them, they're going to lose in the first round. And I know for a fact that people got them winning at least two in this tournament. I don't see anybody who wouldn't have them winning two. So I'm putting Wisconsin on upset alert.
All right. So we got the Badgers on upset alert. And, again, the Badgers are a team that live and die by the perimeter shot. They've been doing a better job as of late of getting to the rack. But we all know how that relying on Jays can be feast or famine. Yeah, they got to control the tempo. You know, if they let it get out of hand, you know, Mississippi's got a cat, Marcus Henderson. This cat is he's interesting, if nothing else. He's a scorer. He's a gunslinger. He's got some trash talk to his game. He's had some interesting moments this year. There was a GIF floating around the internet of him after they defeated Auburn. And he was popping his jersey in front of a bunch of fans, Auburn fans, and just it was actually very hilarious how the fans responded to him. So he's a volatile personality for a college athlete, to say the least. So Wisconsin's a team that could get knocked off. PhD, you in the house?
Yes, sir.
I want to pull in my man PhD real quick. We want to get your opinion on some bracket killers. I know you had a couple bracket killers you wanted to share with the listeners out there. Enlighten the peoples.
Yeah, so the one that really, like, the team I think that is going to disappoint a lot of folks is Florida. And I think that Florida loses to Minnesota or UCLA in the second round. I think they barely will squeak by Northwestern State. And I have no question that they won't make it out of the first weekend.
Mm. Wow, that's a PhD guarantee right there.
Yeah. No question. I mean, no question at all. And I hate to say it, my second team is Duke. And because about 6 weeks ago I thought Duke was going to be the best team in the tournament, and I don't see them getting past Creighton in the second round. I don't. I like Creighton. I think Creighton is going to be the sweetheart of the tournament. I like McDermott, and he's going to give you a Wally Szczerbiak type of moment that Miami of Ohio and young Oxford, Ohio gave us about a decade and a half ago.
Man, we got a Szczerbiak reference. And
that's
right,
Wally.
Yeah. With the volatility of some of these top seeds, man, yeah, I think you hit on an interesting point there, PhD. Talking about teams like Duke, Indiana, Louisville, some of these squads that are one seeds or two seeds that, depending upon when you check into the season, you would think these teams were unbeatable.
Right.
And then they've lost some bad games. I mean, about two or three weeks ago, nobody had Louisville on one line. Nobody. I mean, when we did our show 2 weeks ago and we gave our ones, nobody had Louisville as a one. Nobody. But they got hot at the right time. But just as you can get hot, you can get cold. And that's what you're kind of seeing with Duke. So it's going to be real interesting to see how this goes, because a lot of these top-tier teams, and I'm putting that in air quotes, y'all can't see that because this is radio, but I'm putting that in air quotes because a lot of these top-tier teams have been very vulnerable all season. And there's no juggernaut in this tournament where you're really going to be able to really stake your bet on this team making it, because, as we said at the beginning, anybody can get it in this one. D. Wills, who's your bracket killer?
Wow, y'all beat me to the punch on the Florida one. I thought Florida was one, but since he said Florida, I'll say the other one is Kansas. And game changer knows. I don't trust Bill Self. I don't know what it is. He got one right.
He don't make it to the small room.
Kansas is a team that has killed more people in tournaments over the past. I think the only other team to kill Kansas and get them up is Arizona over years. Just would get them hyped, and then they get you up to the edge, and they just dump you out. More people complain and hit on Facebook with Kansas than anything. I know Brett Woods is probably crying right now, Professor Woods, Dr. Woods, I'm sorry. I know that's your team. But every once in a while they get a Danny Manning moment, it works out. But I can't trust it. I think UNC, who they've underperformed, I think Gaines had just said it best, that's the type of team that can beat Kansas. Because they ain't scared of they brand bigger than yours. Plus, the old coach, that's all, he can't lose to his old team. If nothing else, he wants to beat Kansas. If he loses the next round, he'll be fine. So I think Kansas is something that is one seed that is vulnerable.
Okay. All right. So you got Kansas now. I'm gonna challenge you a little bit because I know your rules to how you pick squad. Yep. So Kansas possibly has that guy in the tournament, yeah, who could take over some games. You know, me and PhD traded some texts last week talking about this particular kid, and I'm talking about Ben McLemore.
Yeah.
This guy is probably the best talent in the tournament as far as a game changer, a true game changer in the tournament. Kid can score from all over the court, nice move, jump shot, can take it to the rack a little bit. He's got some stuff in his game. He's a guy who can take things over. He's done it a little bit here and there during the season. He's still just a freshman. How does that play? How does that play into how you view Kansas? Because I know you're big on those guys who can win games as far as your formula for how you look at the tournament.
There's a couple things. You got to have a guy who has that ability to take over when your team struggles. The other thing I look at, and I'll get a little deeper into this tomorrow night if you listen to our special. But those teams who can win when they don't score, I think Kansas has some of those. I think if you use my rules, when I look at Kansas, the eyeball test, everything else, it says they have it. But then they have the self factor, which I'm trying to overcome.
So this is about Bill Self for you.
Over the years, Paul Pierce, I mean the lineups that they've had over years, and they just have killed your bracket. And so it just hurts me. So given all that, there's even under Roy, when Roy was a coach, he used to take you all the way there and just leave you at the altar. So there's always that culture, whatever that is, factor about a program, and I just worried about it because of the fact they got to play UNC in the second round, and then that's the team who's not scared of the brand. In fact, they're going to be motivated because their coach doesn't want to lose to his old program. So there's going to be extra motivation. In some ways, this can make their season, even though it hasn't been what they wanted it to be.
Yeah, the Kansas coach is always the coach that you think of when CBS or whoever is interviewing the coaches of the winning team in the locker room. Coach, how'd you do it? All right, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we're going to send it to Leslie Visser with a losing coach, to Bill Self or Roy Williams. You know, very, very gracious losers. I'd like to give Syracuse all the credit. I told my guys a few minutes ago I was very proud of them. I wouldn't trade, you know. That's just the Roy Williams and Bill Self speech, you know. The Kansas coach.
The only coach I ever believed in was Larry Brown with Kansas. Would have rolled with him anywhere. Only coach. I knew once he was going to win, he'd get out. He didn't want that stuff to stick on him.
Yeah. Yeah, so B.O., so listeners out there, D. Will is telling you, Suge is telling you, be on the lookout for Kansas. As Flav and Chuck D. once said, don't trust them. All right, don't trust them. All right, so I'm going to give you mine, and then we're going to wrap up this segment of NCAA Talking. Listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSU, Renegade Radio, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions. So my team that you cannot trust, my bracket buster, all right, the squad that you just got to stay away from, for me, it's Ohio State. I'm not buying the squad. And for me, it was a toss-up between Ohio State and Louisville. I know everybody's hot on Louisville right now. I don't trust Louisville. The same way you are with your boy Self, I'm with Slick Rick. I just don't trust Slick Rick Pitino, man. I just don't trust the squad. Russ Smith is a wild card. Aaron Kraft, I like his game. I like his defensive chops. But I don't think Ohio State has enough scoring. If they get into it with Iowa State, if they see Iowa State in the second round, not a good matchup. Iowa State has too much firepower. Outside of Deshaun Thomas, Ohio State doesn't have the gunslingers. If they get into it with New Mexico in the round after that, if they happen to get by Iowa State, New Mexico gets up and down the floor too much. They have a lot of weapons. If Belmont is there in the second round in the Sweet 16, Belmont shoots the lights out. I don't think Ohio State can score with them. You talk about those teams that have trouble scoring. I think that's what you're going to see in these games with Ohio State. They're going to have a hard time scoring, and they're going to catch one of these teams that's going to be hot, and it's going to really cause them some problems because they're not going to be able to. Because Aaron Kraft is greatest defender of the year. He can't guard everybody. and the rest of them dudes are decent defenders. He kind of makes them go by being able to put pressure on the ball and make it difficult for teams to get into the offense. But that's in the Big Ten where you're going against young point guards a lot. You're going against a lot of young point guards in the Big Ten. Iowa State, they're going to have some vet point play. New Mexico's got vet point play. Belmont's got vet point play. Ohio State's a team I watch out for. Louisville as well. Louisville, their second-round game is going to be against either Missouri or Colorado State. Again, either of those teams I think will handle their pressure just fine. Missouri's got solid guard play. Colorado State's got a senior-laden lineup. I mean, when you got five teams out there, they ain't a press, they ain't seen. So Louisville, I think, can get slipped up. And then in the second round, they could wind up either going against the St. Louis team, veteran-laden, or an Oklahoma State team with one of the best point guard prospects out there, Marcus Smart. He's 6'4", 225. We've all seen Peyton Siever. Peyton Siever ain't got no type of defense for that. Not when your point guard is that big. Peyton Siever ain't got nothing coming. He's gonna wind up in. He's gonna get Jason Terry, Brandon Knighted.
Brandon Knighted.
Where you get thrown to the floor and dunked on at the same time. That's the new thing in the league. Throw a cat down and dunk on him at the same time. So Louisville and Ohio State are two teams I watch out for that are higher seeds that I think may not make it as far as you think they will. So that's our NCAA bracket talk. I want to thank my man LR for joining us. Make sure you get signed up for the RSG Bracket Challenge, the Resistance Digital Bracket Challenge. How can D-Wheels, how can folks go about getting signed up for the Bracket Challenge? We got to give the advice for that.
We are posting it on our Facebook. You can do that. We'll have a link that we will by tomorrow have on our realsportsguys.com that people can click and get to it. But if you just go to our Facebook looking for Real Sports Guys Radio, join that. There'll be a link there. Click on it. Get signed up. We already got people coming in. They heard about it before you came in, LR, and they're already joining in. Feels good.
Yeah, I got in today myself, man, and there were about 15, 16 entries already, man, maybe more. I just gave it a quick glance to see who were going to be the losers this year. I gave it a quick once over, and I saw some of y'all names on there. and stuff. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, this is what I say, though. You know, it's great that, you know, we have this whole tournament thing with all of the nice prizes and whatever else. But, you know, with us, it ain't even about the prizes. It's about the bragging rights.
That's right.
So
exactly.
you as we normally say, well, in fantasy, you got to come with it because we the experts. You got to come with it.
That's right.
Absolutely. So again, exactly. So again, thank you to LR for joining us. Greatly appreciate you coming in, man. And make sure your listeners out there, you get signed up, man. He's got some great gifts. He's gonna take care of you. He's hooking you up. So make sure you check that out and you get into that as soon as you can. Get in as soon as you can before Thursday. It's going to be a beautiful thing. We talk a lot of trash. We have a good time. And just hope your bracket doesn't get busted.
That's right. That's right. I'm actually about to post this right now on Facebook for folks. So, you know, if you don't get in at it, I don't want to hear any crying. No babies crying. Just go ahead and get up there.
You can also hit us up on Twitter if you want the vitals for the challenge. So make sure you do that. You're listening to The Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio, brought to you by Resistance Digital. Make sure you check out the fellas at Resistance Digital Solutions to get all your digital needs met at a very reasonable price. Hit up my man Larry Randall at www.resistancedigital.com. He'll hook you up, get you right, get your tech game sweet. All right? So, we have been, all right, at RSG, list is a vital part of our format. It's something that we do because we do it well. We love to have things to debate and provide you a format where we can get into things and shed some light on some truths and untruths about sports. And so we've been going through and we've been hitting you off. This past week, we hit you off with our NBA top 10 individual seasons of all time. And we hit you with our honorable mention and our 10 through 8 last week. Some interesting debate, some interesting choices. You know, we had some real rousing conversation around the man Elgin Baylor. The cats came at me over my T-Mac selection. you know, we had some omissions with Larry Bird being left off of PhD's list, but he owned up to it. He manned up and said, "Hey, I missed that. That was a blind spot." You know, got to keep it real. He kept it real. So this week we're going to continue with this conversation. We're going to keep it going. I'm going to have my man PhD. If you're ready, brother, you good to go to start us off?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he's got it dialed up. He's ready to go. You take it away. Give us your 7 through 5. So 7, 6, and 5.
Sure. To recap from last week, I had David Robinson and Kevin Garnett, the 91 season for Robinson and the 03-04 season for Garnett. Honorable mention. I had Magic Johnson, the 86-87 season at 10th. LeBron with the Cavs, 07-08 season. And at 8th, I had Elgin Baylor for the Lakers at the 61-62 season. Now I'm going to talk about the guy that I'm the most uncomfortable about on this list. It kept me up at night knowing that I had to put this guy on my list. I was so uncomfortable putting this guy on my list. I tried to find every possible reason to not put this guy on my list. You guys got it?
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Shaquille O'Neal, the 1999-2000 season with the Lakers. He led the league in win shares, offensive and defensive win shares, and that's the reason he got on my list. He averaged just a smidgen, under 30 points a game, 13.5 rebounds a game, almost 4 assists, and 3 blocks, and he shot 57% from the field. The team also won the NBA championship, which was Kobe Bryant's first of 5 NBA championships.
Maybe it was Robert Horry's first to 5-2. So what?
That's right. What? Well, actually, Horry had already won a few, right? He had already won a few.
Yeah, he had two. It was his third, so
right.
I'm saying.
Okay. Just thought I'd drop that in. So the reason that I'm not feeling Shaq, and I really can't articulate the reasons, I just, you know, I think time works in a couple different ways. You think back on your high school career and you're wondering why McDonald's didn't come around hailing you an All-American, you know. the more years go by, the more you become Al Bundy. You know, I scored 6 touchdowns one time. With Shaq, it seems to have the opposite effect. You know, it's almost like I forget how dominating this guy was. And that's why I just had to bite the bullet and put him on the list. It's something about Shaq. When I look at the other people on my list, the LeBrons, the Shaqs, the Hakeems, the Jordans, I just don't want to put Shaq on that list. And for some reason, past the Orlando Magic Shaq, I was never a huge fan of Shaq. I just wasn't. There was something about guys that didn't go out there, bust their butt, go to work every day, you know, with a hard hat and a lunch pail, and I never saw Shaq as that guy. He was effective at what he did. He was one of the best all time at what he did, but something just never resonated with me and him once he left Orlando. So I'm going to move on from Shaq. 6, Bill Russell. The 63-64 season, my man was an NBA champ. He averaged 15 points per game, 25 boards. I said 25 rebounds. Again, 25 rebounds a game, 5 assists, and, you know, unfortunately we don't have the block statistics or the steal statistics for Russell because they weren't kept for like another 10 years after the 63-64 season. That's when they began to be kept. Russell was just dominating during this season. When you look at Will Chamberlain's numbers from that season, they were also equally impressive. But Bill Russell also won the MVP that year. At number 5, I'm going with Hakeem, the Dream, Olajuwon, the 89-90 season. And during this season, he averaged 24 points a game, 14 boards, almost 5 blocks per game. That's just dirty, filthy. 5 blocks? I mean, you're erasing. If you look at guys shooting 50, 60% from that point on the field, on the court, you're erasing 6 to 8 points per night. 6 to 8 points per night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous when you really dig into the numbers, and all coaches will tell you, when you got a guy that can account for that many points offensively, but they're also erasing points off the board, that's just outstanding. Now, I also looked at his 93-94 season where he averaged 27 points. The 92-93 season, he averaged 26 and everything else was similar. His blocks were just a little bit lower. Now, another neat thing about this season was that he averaged over 2 steals a game. And, I mean, you got a cat that averages almost 5 blocks and 2 steals, and they're a center, and he didn't win the Defensive Player of the Year. Off the top of your head, fellas, can you guys tell me who won Defensive Player of the Year 89-90?
Jordan?
D. Wills?
I got another guess.
Hakeem.
Hakeem won. Wait, did he just say Hakeem?
D. Wills over there sleeping.
Yeah, D-Wills had one of those moments in class when the people ask you a question.
I'm getting these requests from attorney. Y'all know I don't know how to multitask like that.
Shiz over here
working on my.
Shiz over here on the two way. Distracted.
I mean, D-Wills in high school is thinking about the cute young lady. Goodness.
Oh, man, my man in language arts class, teacher asked him a question. He's like, calcium.
All right, Mueller.
This is a bad thing we have a guy who's teaching graduate classes. He's going to ask you, just make sure you're paying attention.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. So in the 89-90 season, Dennis Rodman won the defensive player of the year.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And I mean, it was well deserved. Rodman was able to cover anybody but Hakeem. Granted, almost any other season, he would have won defensive player of the year. And the thing that was so impressive, this was the season where Hakeem repeatedly guarded anybody on the court. Anybody in the court. Like, when you watch the Miami Heat play right now, and the thing that makes them so dangerous is that at any point on the court, four out of their five guys, or perhaps five out of the five sometimes, can switch on everything. They can switch on ball screens, you name it. And at that point in the NBA, ball screens and pick and roll was what was up. You had a heavy dominated point guard league, kind of like we have right now, and teams ran a lot of pick and roll. And when you had a center that could switch off and defend that point guard, which really no other team had, it just opened up things for the Houston. Now Houston didn't have much around them. They lost in the first round, but it was just amazing to see Hakeem do those things. So to recap, my 5-7 is Shaq at 7 in the 99 season, Bill Russell, 63 season, and Hakeem, 89-90 season at 5.
Okay. So this is the part where me and D-Will kind of go over and we kind of try to pick at his list as much as we can. D-Wills, get the pickings.
You gonna make me glad. I'm the one that got on him about Bird. I feel bad trying to hit him again.
But you just, I got to make sure you're paying attention, man. You just hit him with a wet paint, though, we on. He asked you a question. What page are we on again?
Right.
Well, I mean, we're in the same neighborhood, the Shaq. I mean, I have those three on the list. I think we just have them at different places. I have Shaq one lower than him. I think I have Shaq at 8. And I have the dream season at 9. I think where he has that dream at 5, I could argue that. I think, again, I don't think we give Dream enough credit. I think part of my criticism with Shaq, and I think this is the issue, particularly with guys like Shaq, I think people struggle because he how many times did he lead the league in rebounding? I don't think that many times.
I don't know if he did like he should have. I'm gonna look it up real quick. I'm on it. Keep rolling.
So I think part of Shaq's criticism, if you look at the top people who talk about the top 5 or 6 centers ever, they all probably led the league a rebound, probably I would say maybe 3 or 4 more times across their career. And so I think that leads people to question his focus all the time. Even in an era where he didn't have anybody. I mean, I think James should have talked about it best. I mean, he was coming in as some of those great centers were getting to older ages, and then he didn't really have any real contemporaries. In the time he went up against Hakeem, he just got shook up. So I think that's what the challenge is for him, but this season he had was great. And so I can see why it's on the list, but that's why I didn't have it that high. And in the Russell season, I can see,
time out.
I can see
out.
That.
You had him at 8. I had him at 7.
Yeah. Whatever. 7 for this is moving you into that other – you're not in the room. It's moving you. But you got a chair sitting out, like you're like in a hallway sitting outside the AP class. Listening, hoping you can catch something. That's when you die. And I would say he got an entry to the reception. So that's why, you know, there's a big difference between the 8 and 7. But I understand. You're right. We all got him in the same way. And then Russell. So I don't have a huge issue with him. What I'm impressed with the Russell season is really the assists. He averaged almost 5 assists for a big man. So, I mean, a lot of times people are focusing on scoring on some of these things, but some of the things that impressed me about some of these other seasons were some of the other things they were doing. So I don't have a major problem with this.
Yeah. I don't have a major problem with any of those either. You know, that season in which Shaq Wentz for 29 and 13 and a half. You know, that broke the center position. There hasn't been a center to come close to that since. Other than him, he basically broke the center position at that point. We haven't had a dominant big man since then.
Yeah.
But I think for us, for all three of us, and I think PhD summed it up, there's something about a cat that you just feel like he doesn't go out every night in and night out, and really get after it. In that season, though, Shaq averaged 40 minutes a night. He played 40 minutes a game, but he never led the league in rebounding.
No.
Never.
Yeah, that was the closest he came. Was
his
that
highest? Highest rebounding total came his rookie year. His rookie year and his second year were also the only times he played 80 games.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that whole idea of Shaq as a guy who kind of, once he got his credit, he kind of coasted, didn't really push mm-hmm. himself, wasn't always in the greatest of shape. That's the frustrating thing about Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, his rookie year, he came in, averaged 23 and 13.9, 3.5 blocks. At that point, you think it can only get better, and it never really did, except that one year.
He's an Hall of Fame version of Daryl Dawkins. Don't think you're going to get that again.
Yeah.
You get close to it. Yeah.
I have to have a man moment and come to terms with the oversight on my own list. Huge Dream fan. I shouldn't have left him off. My bad, Dream. That season is ridiculous. And as you put it, PAZ, how does this guy not win Defensive Player of the Year? I mean, you got a 6'10" dude averaging 5.5 blocks or 5 blocks a game and 2 steals a night. Whoa. I mean, you talk about, I mean, that's ridiculous. Again, if somebody did that today, our heads would explode.
Yeah. I mean, that season had parents putting big kids in soccer because Hakeem played soccer, and that was why his agility was so big, so great. You know, are we going to put Big June in soccer to help him with his feet? Okay. Right?
Yeah, Big Junior wind up standing in midfield all day. He can't change directions. Little kids just whizzing by.
Right.
Like he on the interstate.
Right, Sports Illustrated said that Hakeem got that by soccer, so I'm going to try it out.
Yeah. Didn't quite work out. Whole generation of big men out there on the soccer field trying to be the Dream.
Right.
Oh, man. So,
only on RSG.
Only on RSG. You listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. We are in the midst of taking you through our top 10 NBA seasons of all time. Right now, D. Wills is going to hit us off with his 7, 6, and 5.
All right. Thank you, Professor. I am paying attention. I will have to demonstrate that I can deliver here today. So number 7 is Kareem. It's season in Milwaukee, 71-72. We heard about the Swedes averaging 34.6, 16 rebounds, 4.6 assists. He got 57% from the line. Should I do my recap for my last?
Recap
PhD, that. PhD does this, you know, we are, it's like he's standing in line and he sets the tone, and then we all got to make sure we do that or we just look crazy. So let me start with I had 10, I had Russell, the 63-64 season. The Dream, I got him on the list, so I don't get criticized, the 89-90 season. And then Shaq, even though I was critical of him, as I said before, I had him at 8 in the 99-2000 season. So back to my list. Kareem, so I talked about that. At 6, I have Bird, which we spent a lot of time talking about. He averaged 28.7 points, 10.5 rebounds, 6.6 assists. I mean, just the 6.6 assists, that's going to put you competitive with guards. But then the 1.6 steals. Now, Bird didn't have the best footwork, but he averaging almost 2 steals a game. And then 1.2 blocks. 1.2 blocks. He couldn't jump. And then he shot 52% from the field.
and 42.7% from three-point line. He shot better from three-point line than most people shoot from the field. And he still shot 88% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. I'm going to drop the mic on that one. And then hey, Magic at five. I've had Magic at five, the 86-87 season. He averaged 23.9, 12.2% two assists. Basically, as Game Changer said, he was responsible for almost, what, 50-some points a game for his team. And then 6.3 rebounds, 1.7. Another guy that wasn't fleet of foot, but almost two steals a game. He shot 52% from the field and 84% from the line and won the MVP that year. So that's my three, Kareem, Bird, Magic.
So here's my question. I'm going to start this one off. One, I would like to make observation of Bird's blocking shots. I think because the complexion of the league was different back then, in the 80s, I think he only blocked other white players. Shot. I don't know if he would be able to put up 1.2 blocks per game in today's NBA. But all jokes aside, the steals and the blocks really speaks to his basketball IQ because he was just there before you knew he was there. You know what I mean?
That's right.
He could see things going on before they happen. And, you know, that when you talk about a guy who just knew basketball and had a feel for what was going to take place on the court, Bird was that dude, and he used that to his advantage. You know, he had, you know, near clairvoyance on the court when you talk about being able to still be an effective defender without the physical tools to do it. Bird embodied that. Kareem being at seven, can you tell me a little bit about why you got Kareem so low, brother?
And before,
he was, DAZ and I both have this particular season pretty high. So
Your Honor,
why
Your Honor, can I? Your Honor, Game Changer, can we treat D. Wills as a hot witness?
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just going to say this. As I look at this order, and I look at it again, and I'll say this, I probably would have flipped it. If I had to think this again, I may have had him at five. I think some of the people that I got above this season, this season is great, so I can't argue. I mean, once you start getting up here, I can understand why. I just thought some of the other seasons that I had above it, I could flip him and easily have him at five. So I'll take the criticism on this. I just felt like some of these other seasons I was looking at for other reasons I thought were good. But I could see why his would be even above these two. So I could take whatever criticism that would have with that. So I understand on the mercy of the court on this one. And the only thing I can say is <good. laughs>
what do you want to go? How you want to tackle this, PhD? I'll let you jump in.
We're gonna stay right here with Kareem. With Kareem, 35 points, 16 rebounds, 4.6 assists, and we don't quite know how many blocks he had per game. But the first season they did keep blocks, which was his third or fourth season in the league, he blocked almost four shots a game. So it's probably a pretty safe assumption that he blocked somewhere between 3 to 5 shots a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reliability on that is pretty low. We don't know, but let's just throw that out there. You know, I have him much higher. I have him in my small room in terms of individual seasons. And you know what? My friend D. Wills already asked for the mercy of the court, so I'm just going to move on.
Wait. Yeah, we had already submitted our ballots, and this was one of the seasons. There are two seasons I looked at that I would probably re-rank them if I looked at it a little bit more. It's the dream season and this season were two seasons that I would have. If you were to say,
because you know he posted. I'm gonna bring this up because this is my stat. You know he posted the all-time highest win share total in this season. You know that, right?
Yeah, and I saw that. So
you know you You know you done messed up, right?
I came back. It was a slip of the pen, or I might have been sleeping on the list when I did it. And I think I moved him around the most. And he probably, I think when I first started, he was much higher than this. He was at least third or fourth. So I don't know what I did wrong. I throw myself on the mercy. I just made sure he was on the list. But this is one of those, he is in the classroom, asking the teacher questions, sitting in front of the class. He is in that room, and I just need to.
All right. We're going to call off the dogs.
Right. Can we treat him as a hostile witness? Yeah.
Right. What type of question is that anyway? I mean, like, what does it take to be a hostile witness? Like, how do you got to get up? How do you got to approach the stand? You know what I'm saying? How you got to approach the witness bench, man?
You know what I felt like? I felt like Eminem in 8 9, right when he got out the car, he had to send his little sister into the house. Remember that scene? One eye closed the door.
Wait,
he doesn't know that.
I got that from Two Can Play That Game with Anthony Anderson.
Yeah.
Keith, you telling me you didn't want to hit that? You telling me that, Keith?
Yeah, buddy. We're going to keep this rolling. We got the last list, which is my list, to jump into real quick, and I'll do a quick recap. I had Allen Iverson at number 10. For his 2005-2006 season. Number 9, I had LeBron James, 2008-2009 season. I had at number 8, Larry Bird, his 84-85 season. So that was my 10 through 8. I'm going to pick it up at number 7. At this spot, I have Magic Johnson from the 86-87 season. Magic posted 23-9. 6 boards, 12 assists. As we talked about before, led the team to NBA Finals, shot 52% from the field, almost 2 steals a night, accounted for 50-plus points a night. I mean, that's just counting for his scoring and the assists, not counting the passes that he made that led to free throws, you know, the hockey assists where he made the pass that led to the pass. You're talking about possibly a cat being responsible for 60 to 70 points on a nightly basis, which is tremendous. So I had to put Magic in. I had him here at 7. You know, the more and more I think about it, I could have put him higher. But, you know, yeah, he's on the list. My number 6, Oscar Robertson, 61-62, the triple-double season, one of the triple-double seasons. Cat went 31 points, 12 rebounds, 11.4 assists. Unbelievable statistical feat. Hasn't been repeated since. Probably will never be repeated. The only guy who I think has had the talent to do that one is Magic. One is LeBron. Well, maybe a third is Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd got close sometimes from time to time when he put up some nice numbers that would have put him in that position. But what really stands out here is where Jason Kidd and Magic were rebounders, more rebounders and passers. Oscar scored like a two-guard, like a Jordan, like a Iverson. You know, you think of any great scorer, Kobe, he put up points like those guys, whereas Magic was more of a facilitator. Kidd was more of a facilitator, getting other guys involved. He did that plus. Drop 30 on you. Now, I've said before about how pace played into this and how the pace in the 60s especially was breakneck, where the game was really up and down. Yet and still, a triple-double is a triple-double. If it was so easy, more cats would have done it, which is why he's on the list. Nobody else did it. So, you know, and the one thing that wasn't inflated during this era was the assist stat. He averaged 11.4. Shooting percentages were low. League average was around 41% from the floor. So getting assists was difficult because guys weren't shooting at a high clip. Oscar still managed to manufacture 11 assists a night, creating for his teammates. So I have Oscar at 6. At number 5, I have Moses Malone. In 1981-82 season, 31 points a game, 14.7 rebounds, and as a big man, he led the league in minutes. A center led the league in minutes. All right? That's one of the main reasons I had this in. Moses was a workhorse this season. Unbelievable production, shot a high percentage from the field. So that's my 5, 6, and 7. Magic 7, Oscar 6, Moses 5. Have at me.
Okay. I'm just going to jump on in. So I have criticism for 2 of your picks, but I will tell you, great job on the 3rd. So Moses Malone, and you know, I'm a Moses apologist. Now, for the listeners out there, when we did our top 50 list last year, I actually had Moses Malone at 6, the 6th best player ever to play basketball. In contrast, Devon had him at 18, and Marcus had him at 12. So, I love Moses' game. But those numbers are excellent, except when you consider this cat averaged 1.8 assists per game.
The original black hole.
Right.
That was a career high. But that was his career high.
I mean, Moses did not care. You can trip into 2 assists a game when you're playing 42 minutes a game and you're getting the ball enough to score 31 points. I mean, you can just trip into that many assists. And his block numbers don't, you know, I mean, they were solid at a block and a half a game. But I just, now, Marcus was the only guy to have Moses in any of our lists.
Yeah.
And then, again, I got to treat you like a hostile witness here. Oscar Robinson, 6. This cat averaged a triple double. D. Wells, I'm
going to
let you have this one.
Yeah, this is my – he averaged a triple-double, something that hasn't been done again. And that is – that's one of the things that got to put you in that elite group. You're not only in the room, you set up the agenda in the minutes. You get to pick the food on the menu when you got that. So that was my biggest thing, was the fact that you had Oscar where you had, and actually had Oscar under Moses, which is my big thing. I don't mind you having Moses on there, but I think I would have Moses on here, but I would have Moses probably a little bit lower and maybe Bird season up a little bit higher. So that order is not these people, but that order. I think missing the Moses season, actually, I thought, well, wow, that's a good season. But I don't know if it's 5th best. And then Oscar being 6th. And we ain't going to talk about what you got Shaq at. As much as, so I just like, when you do a triple-double for the season, that's one thing that just puts you somewhere else.
Well, again, I'm accounting for pace. The assists were legit.
Yeah,
the point was legit.
Triple, double,
but this
triple,
is.
Double.
But wait a minute. But let me.
Nobody
finish.
Else did it. Nobody else did it. But you get a house of witness now.
Nobody else did it. You're absolutely right, which is why he's on the list at all. All right, that's why he's on the list at all, because it's a triple double. Now, the stat that I had the most issue with was the rebounding. In an era where you had guys averaging 25, 30 boards a night, getting 12 ain't all that. Now, when you couple it all together, yes, that's a great season. But let's not pretend like those 12 rebounds, like he was getting 12 today in today's league at today's pace, and he was pulling down 12 boards a night as a guard. Again,
Marcus,
during that era,
you had guys consistently averaging
17, 25, 8, that's 6 boards, 6 more boards than he did.
I love you, man. But you can't get no triple double. Triple double hard. I don't care who playing.
Let me step in here, fellas. We have a special guest this evening who has something to say about Moses, about Oscar, and I'll even take the Larry Bird criticism. We have the man, the myth, the legend, Ray. What's going on, Ray?
Might be in trouble.
Yeah, the teacher did step back in the classroom, fellas.
How you doing, brother?
Good. You know, I told him back in the screening room, you know, the reality is that Oscar broke them fellas off. It wasn't but a half a dozen black people in the league. You know, he was crushing the Great White Hope at that time. So,
those are great points. Those are great points.
You know, so I do like the idea that Moses, if you ever talk about basketball and greatness and you don't bring up Moses, then you didn't either watch or you didn't go back far enough or you just forgot. So
yeah. And see, this is what was impressive to me with Moses, and this is the thing that maybe you guys didn't hear when I said it, but he led the league in minutes as a big man.
Sure.
I mean, he led the league in minutes. I mean, that's unheard of to me.
Moses is an anti-Shaq.
He maximized every minute, sweat, everything else. He drift a puddle. You could never say he didn't give you every minute.
Sure, but and as far as the 1.9 assists or the two assists a game, you know, what was his shooting percentage? You know,
51?
That's the thing that. Yeah, I mean, when he got the ball, he scored. That's what he was there for. When you threw it to him, you didn't throw it to him to throw it to somebody else. You know, when he rebounded it, he was going to put it back up. That's what his job was. He wasn't out there to pass anyway. You know, so, you know, when Will Chamberlain did it, you know, he was trying to prove a point. You know, I think if Moses decided he wanted to do it, he could have. It wasn't as though he couldn't. So,
I don't think he wanted to.
No, he didn't want to.
No, I was going to say, I don't think he wanted to, but he wasn't supposed to. That wasn't his gig.
No. No, that, you know, he was probably calling for the ball, you know. He wasn't getting it enough, you know, for his taste anyway.
Yeah. And with Oscar's season again, man, I give Oscar all the credit in the world for that season, but I have it 6 again because – you know, I don't even have Russell's season from that era on my list. I don't have Baylor's season from that era on my list. And that could be shame on me. But, again, just looking at the pace in which folks played at, you know, you see, that just gave me a different lens through which to see the stats.
This is a test, game changer. You can't go to a barbershop in America and tell them that you put Oscar at 6 and come out alive.
I can.
No, you can't.
You can't go to a barbershop in America and come out with Oscar at that point.
Yes, I can, because one, they can't mess up my hair because I ain't got none. And two, in Wisconsin, you can conceal and carry.
I tell you what, Martin, if we were allowing multiple guys, like multiple seasons from the same guy to show up on this list, Oscar averaged a triple-double in 30-plus points for 5 straight seasons. That would take up half of a reasonable person's list.
So now I'm unreasonable.
Right. Will would take up another 3 or 4 slots, okay? And you got this cat's best season as 6. You know,
yes, because the reason you do that for 5 years is not just on talent alone. There's got to be some other factor at play, and it was pace. That's why you could do that for 5 straight years, man.
I'm just going to tell you this evening to not operate any heavy machinery and just sleep it off.
The Hennessy's upstairs. I'm good. Oh, man. You listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG Renegade Radio. Man, you in the square right now. We got all four corners covered. You on the diamond. You know, we got first, we got second, we got third and home plate covered because we got my man Ray in the house joining us. Ray, man, what's been up with you? I want to just chop it up with you for a moment while we got you here before we get into the dog of the week.
I just, you know, I had a little illness and I'm getting better and, you know, just taking it easy, getting my health back.
All right. We got to get you on more, man. We got to get you on. We're going to get into these dogs of the week, though. Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital dog of the week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the Real Sports Guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today. All right. We're in the midst of the dog of the week. You listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSU Renegade Radio, brought to you by Resistance Digital. Fellas, my man PhD, you know how it goes.
We need more dogs.
So my dog of the week is actually, I'm a week overdue for announcing this, but a young man close to the show had a Euro Challenge game to remember. He was the EuroBasket.com Player of the Week for dropping 26, 6, and 5. He's averaging a sick 4 steals per game. That is the game changer's little brother, Jonte Flowers, playing overseas in Finland, I believe.
Yes, sir. Yeah, young man's killing it, man. His kid grew up with sticky fingers, man. You got to keep everything nailed down around that boy.
Right.
He'll take your jaws off of you to look the other way. No, yeah, I'm proud of that cat, man. You know, he's got a lot of fellas in his cap. He's adding another one over there playing ball overseas. His team is in the EuroBasket tournament doing his thing. So shout out to number four. That's the fourth brother right there, and called number four.
Yeah, he's really developing, man. 4 steals a game, shooting 60% from the field, 5th in the league in scoring, and shooting over 35% from 3. Game is getting real tight over there.
Yeah, man, yeah. So hopefully we can get him back stateside at some point. But he's working it out. He's working his craft. Well, man, D. Wills.
We need more dogs.
Well, mine is Miami Heat. 23-game win streak victory over the Celtics last night, 105-103. With the sauce on top with King James, he hit the jumper from the left side, came down and pressed down on everybody, let them know he arrived in the building. But they had like 5 guys, I think, who had like 5 rebounds or more. I mean, it's a total team effort. They're all in this zone. You know, we think about how we were talking about them a couple of years ago and where they're at right now. They are on their game, and I'm giving the team, because it's a team effort, the Miami Heat, withstanding a 43-point effort from Jeff Green that sat on the PhD bench in fantasy basketball.
Yeah. Those are the heartbreakers, man. Those are the heartbreakers. The cat goes off and he's on your bench. I'm going to jump in real quick and give my dog of the week. My dog of the week is Jeff Green, man. Coming back, Georgetown alone, one of my boys. One of my Hoyas holding it down, 43 points, great game. Coming back from heart surgery, just a monumental moment for the kid. Good guy all around, so good to see. LeBron definitely exercised some personal demons by putting that nail in the coffin on Boston, kind of like Jordan over the Cavs almost, you know, where it looked like he kicked Elo in the head. He broke Elo's heart. It was one of those moments for LeBron, man. I think PhD said it best over text, man. you feel like you gotta watch more NBA because this cat's great, man. This cat is just great. You don't want to miss. You don't want to miss the great like that. Well, that's all we got for this week. Another show in the bag. Thank you for joining us. Take care. Peace.
You're listening to The Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions.
LL Cool J is hot as hell. Battle anybody, I don't care, you tell. I excel, they all fail. Gonna cut them double L, must rock the bell.
You're listening to The Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions. You're listening to The Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Coach, we recently put together our top NBA players of all time, our top 50, and we had a split with Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. Who would you consider to be the greatest NBA player of all time?
For me, I would have another person because I look at the best players, who's played on the best teams, and who's won the most championships. Now, we all know that there's been individual guys, you know, like Wilt, or they scored the most points, or they've done it. But who's been the best player that made the best players, that made the best players around them, that who won the most championships? And there's no question who that was, and that's Russell, Bill Russell.
Yeah.
He, in my opinion, because he played defense, he played offense, his rebounding, his shot blocking, and then he was a great leader.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a coach. He was, I mean, in today's world, who would be a player coach on a basketball team in the NBA? Could you name one that could coach their team? He did that. I mean, the magnitude of what he accomplished and with his leadership ability is just amazing to me. And to do it what he did. No, he had some great players around him, but he made those players better. And that's just my personal opinion on what he did. You know, and I know what happens when these kinds of questions come up. You know, we're in the now, and so people kind of forget about it. In 20 years, everybody probably will think, you know, the current players, maybe it would be LeBron or somebody, and they kind of forget about, you know, the great player Michael Jordan was, except for, you know, with the clips and things. But, you know, obviously, you know, what Russell did was just amazing in how many championships he won and how he made people better and his leadership qualities and all of that. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, obviously you played in the NFL, you're familiar, you played football, you played on both sides of the ball. Provide us with your perspective on this issue.
You know, and I caught the last tail bit of what you guys were talking about, but I do agree with what you said. When it comes to a person's livelihood, when it comes to physically hurt somebody intentionally, I can't agree with that, but interception, big play, something like that. It's an incentive amongst teams. Like you said, you got stickers in high school in junior high in the playground. You got the girls' attention. I mean, you got to make plays and football. Football is a brutal sport. It's a barbarian sport. I mean, when I ran the ball, my job I wanted to punish you. And if that meant, you know, you're getting a headache, something happening to you, you're getting hurt, that's part of what my job, my running style was. Now, I wouldn't want anything to happen after the 60 minutes and on the street, but within the lines, you know, you got to go out and be that warrior. So it's hard to separate the two, but if you're going to intentionally hurt somebody, I can't agree with that.
Now, you played on some good teams. Did you have that folks who on the defense or whatever that had those kind of competitive things they put with each other? Was that things that on offer you knew folks talking about?
I mean, yeah, even like as kids. I mean, who's the first person to go down on a kickoff? Who's the first person to touch the ball carrier? Whatever it was back then, it might have been you get a donut, you know what I'm saying? But as a kid, you get instilled with that's part of the game is to go and we highlight the most physical, the most dangerous, the most meanest competitor. We highlight that. So
that's
now
right.
That it's brought to light, it's like, oh, how could they? But you glorify the big hits and you glorify all this and you want to see that. So, I mean, I don't recommend and I'm not with intentionally going to hurt somebody, but it's like that's like saying tell Michael Jordan you can't dunk all games because you're too good. You know, I mean that's just he'll go and he'll dunk every play if possible, but you can't do that. So that's how I look at it.
That was an old interview with T.J. Duckett, former NFL star. Here's Wisconsin's Brett Bielema on Russell Wilson.
The guy that added obviously a lot to our team this year, Russell Wilson, is just a, you know, it's. I know everybody's going to think it's Coach Speak or it's coaching cliche. As good a football player is, he's an even better person, an even better human being. Just great chemistry. Brought it to the locker room right away. The kids, you know, elected captain 4 weeks later. He's so dynamic as a leader and as a guy that can really, you know, his two best quarters of football might have been the fourth quarter against Ohio State and Michigan State. I mean, he played.
Yes. Yeah.
And got us into those games, and all they ended up being losses. That was really, in my mind, stands out as some of his best football. So both great kids. I think you're going to hear about Russell next year in the NFL a lot earlier than most people think. And then Imani, when he gets this time a year from now, I think it'll be the exact same.